It could have been more generous and more loud.
Shouldn't it have been at PMQs? I mean, that's where you made the original allegation.
Let me say this. I wrote to David Cameron on Monday morning a letter asking him to sort it out because, I mean, my main interest in this is not the political postures. It's that Mr. Ghani faces massive reputational damage from this. He faces maybe being banned from going to the United States. His family felt under threat. They maybe were under threat. I don't know. Maybe still are. And so it seemed to me that this needed to be put right. Whether it was accidental or whatever it was, it needed to be put right. And I wrote to him on Monday because I was sort of hoping that maybe when he congratulated Sadiq Khan, he'd say, and by the way, I want to apologize, and all that. That would have been the right way, in the same level of profile. Just as if you and I are slandered in a newspaper, we can now get a correction at the same level, as it were. So that was what I was hoping. What we got yesterday was, we got the apology, and it wasn't forced by anything more than the letter. Of course, Michael Fallon, who repeated the thing, had to apologise in public, but it was put out rather late and was rather low-key, so I wasn't too happy. In fact, I raised it in House of Commons today. I said, well, you know, what right, you know, what options do we have? And as it turned out, the Speaker read out the written answer to Keith Simpson, giving the apology too. So it's there, and I think it's on the record, and so on. I would have liked it to have been stronger, but unfortunately, you know, we've got the facts straightened out in the public mind.
But the facts became clear quite early on, and still the Prime Minister repeated it, I think, a second time. Was he just badly briefed? Or because a lot of people who look at this, and we've had several calls today along this, they actually now believe that there is some sort of Islamophobic trend within the Tory party.
No, I don't think that's true. I mean, I think there's a hell of an insensitivity, which I'd like to come back to in a second. But I think it's, you know, truth of the matter is, David Cameron's run off his feet at the moment. He's got the battle of his life on the Brexit campaign. Other things going on, the corruption conference today. I don't think he will not read the newspapers the same way you and I do. He'll rely on other people to brief him, and clearly the briefers didn't draw it to his attention. It may have been the same briefer handling that who gave him the brief in the first place. You can just see that happening, can't you? So I think it's probably just error rather than anything else. I think it would have been actually political madness to keep saying it if he knew it was wrong. Just put the morality to one side for a second.
In effect, the campaign that was launched against Zach Goldsmith against Sadiq Khan, trying to portray him as an extremist, it has set back 10 years of work that David Cameron, whatever one thinks of any of his other policies or Europe or whatever, I think up until the last few weeks, most people would have thought, well, he's actually gone out of his way to attract ethnic minority voters to the Tory party. And it worked at the last election, if you look at the figures.
Sort of up to a point. I think the Tory party has a tin ear on quite a lot of things in this area. I mean, I remember some years ago when I was Shadow Home Secretary going to Leicester and talking to the heads of the Muslim community there. And I was quite shocked by how they saw conventional, let's say, counter-terrorism policies as being anti-Muslim policies. And I think the same with this government, all the things that they have done on sort of freedom of speech and on, you know, in terms of prescribing organizations and so on, will be seen to some extent as anti-Muslim. And I think there's a lack of sensitivity there, and I think it was sort of really highlighted in the anti-Sadiq Khan campaign. And I think you're right. I think we have been set back some part. I don't know whether it's 10 years, but we were set back in this, and I think it's part of the reason that Sadiq Khan got such a big vote. I think what it actually did was galvanise people, both Muslims and actually others. I mean, I think, you know, I had a couple of Tories, quite well-off, white, you know, sort of Christian or whatever they are, atheist Tories, saying, I don't like this campaign, I'm going to vote for Sadiq Khan. People who'd never voted Labour in their life before.
But, I mean, the fact that the Prime Minister directly accused Sulaiman Ghani of supporting Islamic State and then had to backtrack on that and said, well, I didn't mean supporting Islamic State, I mean an Islamic State. I mean, it's a pretty weak defence, isn't it?
Look, politicians hate apologising. That's the raw truth of it, you know. And the reason I wrote to him what was then a private letter on Monday was to give him the option of being gracious about it and not put him under pressure. But they hate apologising, and, you know, listen, this is a Blairite apology in some respects. It's, you know, we apologise if you're offended type sort of thing. But I think they understand only too clearly that they've made a serious mistake. That's why when Michael Fallon publicly apologised, Number 10 got its apology out behind that, you know. So, you know, it's a serious error, and I think it will cost us, but hopefully it can be recovered, because I don't think it reflects anything more than what I've described as a political tin ear. They don't realise quite what sensitivities there are in this area.
But why not? I mean, is it because they, I mean, we've had this discussion before, that they are of a certain type, they come from a certain background, they don't understand the sort of priorities or beliefs of certain different types of communities? Is that it?
A bit of that. I mean, you know, you see it in other areas. I mean, with all the stuff on social mobility and so on, you see a sort of lack of sensitivity sometimes. But some of it's also, you know, a whole thread of other policy on terrorism and so on sees a branch of Islam, not Islam, but a branch of Islam, Wahhabist-type, Salafist-type Islam, as provoking a problem. And so it sort of fits the jigsaw puzzle in their minds. And, you know, this something like this comes along, and they probably thought, what a terrific piece of ammunition is probably what actually went through people's minds, rather than any sort of proper moral judgment on it, or indeed any proper judgment of cultural sensitivity.
Should there be an inquiry into Islamophobia in the Tory party?
I think that would be just posture, frankly. I think what is important is that senior party politicians, cabinet members you were mentioning earlier, should take that on board and understand. It's not, you know, if it happens again, it won't be Sadiq Khan complaining, it'll be people like me, people like Ken Clark, people like Dominic Grieve, who worry about these things.